You are listening to The Naked Scientists with Helen Scales and Kat Arney. And this week, we're looking up in the trees to share the secrets of our feathered friends. And don't forget, you can also listen to us online, anywhere in the world, or even out of this world. Hello, Second Life people. How are you out there?
Well, coming up, we meet a group of problem-solving rooks who display a great deal of intelligence, and we explore the new Darwin Centre at the Natural History Museum in London. But first, it's time to turn our ears to behavioural ecology. How do animals interact with their environment to improve their lot? Well, it seems that cuckoos across the world have found ways of exploiting the nests of other birds. But not all hosts are so easily exploited. To tell us more about which birds know best, we've Rebecca Kilner from Cambridge University with us today in the studio. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
Thanks for being with us. Well, cuckoos, they are crazy creatures, really. But first of all, where do they live? Where do we find cuckoos living? Where in the world?
Well, cuckoos are a member of a sort of super family of birds, and there are about 140 species of them altogether. But it's really only 60 of the species that are well known, and they're well known for their habit of stealing childcare from other species. So what they do is they lay their eggs in a nest belonging to another bird, and they leave their poor victim with the hard job of bringing up their baby. And those brood parasitic birds, as we call them, are scattered throughout the world, so we can find individuals representing this family on every continent.
And they exploit the nests of all sorts of other birds as well. I take it there's lots of poor birds out there who are having to look after things that really are nothing to do with them at all, not their babies at all.
That's right, yeah. So individuals from all of the songbird family really can be found being exploited by cuckoos all over the world.
It's a crazy thing to see. We sort of get pictures and footage on the television of a tiny songbird rearing this enormous cuckoo. Sometimes the size difference is just, it's almost comical, isn't it? It looks ridiculous. How do cuckoos go about being able to get away with this? How do they do this?
Well, obviously the story starts when the cuckoo adds her egg to the host nest. And she does this very, very secretively. And we know best probably about the European cuckoo or the common cuckoo, which exploits songbirds in Britain. And what we know is that she's incredibly secretive. It's very, very hard for even bird watchers to see cuckoos. It's certainly very hard for the host birds, the potential victims of the cuckoo, to see this malevolent stealer of childcare. So what they do is they lurk around potential host victim nests, and then when the timing is right, once the host has started laying her eggs, they very quickly glide down to the host nest in the afternoon, and they will add a single egg of their own to the clutch, having first removed one of the host's own eggs. And they do all this in 10 seconds. They quickly fly away again. So there's very little chance that the host bird will spot them at the nest.
And they only take one of the other eggs out. They leave the other ones there and sort of hide their one egg between all the other ones that were there.
Yes, that's right. So they might possibly take two eggs, but they never take every other egg from the nest. And the reason they don't take all the other eggs is because it's been shown by experiment that if you reduce a clutch to a single egg, then the host will simply give up on the nest because it's no longer profitable. So it's in the cuckoo's interest to leave as many host eggs in the nest as possible. But she takes out one, presumably because it's more the incubation of the clutch is more efficient if there aren't too many eggs in the nest. So by taking one out and adding her own, she keeps the clutch size, the number of eggs in the nest, constant.
OK, and so the cuckoo's got her egg into this other nest. What happens next? Presumably, if it works, then the host mother doesn't realise, and father don't realise that they've got an imposter. What happens next?
Well, so you hit on a very important point there. So it is possible that the host will realise they have an imposter egg
right.
in the nest. So, for example, in the reed warblers, which nest at Wicken Fen near Cambridge, roughly 20% of cuckoo eggs that are laid in the host nest are spotted by the host owner, the nest owners, as foreign, and they throw them out. So more often than not, the cuckoo gets away with it.
And then presumably they eventually will hatch. What happens then?
Yeah, so the cuckoo egg is incubated along with all the other eggs in the host nest. But the cuckoo egg will hatch possibly one or two days earlier than the host's own young. And then at this point, the cuckoo egg sets about instinctively killing off all the members of the host clutch.
I've seen that on TV in a documentary, and that's extraordinary that it knows as well to, as soon as it hatches, that get rid of all the other eggs around me. And
yeah, that's right.
It's amazing.
It's an extraordinary behaviour, and it's an instinctive behaviour. So it will basically, in response to any sort of pressure on the small of its back, the cuckoo chick will walk backwards up the side of the nest and try and tip that whatever's pushing on its back over the edge and to destroy it.
So you've just got a nest with a single cuckoo left in it.
That's right. So in with the common cuckoo, within, say, 48 hours of hatching, the cuckoo chick has destroyed the host's own offspring and it is by itself in the nest.
And then by that stage, the mother and father of of what they thought was their own child, their offspring, do they then just keep on feeding it as if it was their own offspring? Do they actually have any way of figuring out, hang on, this isn't what I expected to see coming out?
Well, no, it's quite remarkable. The reed warblers at Wick and Fen will carry on feeding the cuckoo chick, and they feed the cuckoo chick at roughly the same rate as they would provision a brood of their own chicks.
And that is extraordinary. But are there other species that have figured out ways, or evolved ways, really, isn't it, of defending themselves against cuckoos? Presumably, there must be quite a strong pressure to not allow a cuckoo to come into your nest, because you've really lost a whole breeding opportunity. So how have we evolved? How have they evolved ways of getting around that?
Well, so there are several different lines of defence that hosts can mount to defeat the cuckoo who's trying to steal the childcare. The first line of defence is that the host can mob the adult cuckoo as she lurks near the nest preparing to lay her egg.
So she just screams and sort of tries to get them to...
Yeah, much the same way as birds would mob a predator, for example, potential predator. They mob a cuckoo.
But they have to have seen them in the first place to be able to do that.
That's right, yes. Yeah. So that's the first line of defence. Now, obviously, cuckoos we know that they can breach that line of defence because we know that cuckoos get their eggs into the nest. So the second line of defence that hosts can mount is to spot the foreign-looking egg in the nest. And so this, in turn, has driven the evolution of cuckoos that can lay mimetic eggs, because they're much more likely to escape that line of defence.
So it means they look very similar to the eggs of the host.
That's right. They very closely resemble the host's own eggs. It's almost impossible to tell them apart. It's an extraordinary match.
So does one species of cuckoo only go and parasitise one other species of bird, or can they do different eggs? Do they have different tricks?
Well, so there's the single species of the common cuckoo has split into genetically distinct host races, and each host race can specialise on a different host species, and they're recognisable by the fact that they lay different eggs appropriate to each host species.
That's amazing. That really is. So they can recognise, some species can recognise the eggs, and presumably some can recognise, this isn't my chick, this is not what I was expecting to see, can they?
Well, extraordinarily, it seems that the hosts of the common cuckoo can't do that. So we think this might be because their first two lines of defence are relatively robust. They're especially good at recognising foreign eggs added to the nest. And so because they've got these very secure initial lines of defence, they seemingly have no lines of defence at the chick stage. So if the cuckoo makes it to that point, then it's home and dry. The cuckoo chick will be
fed.
So
they almost say, you know, we should be good at being able to figure this out early on, and we're not going to worry about... By the time eggs have hatched, then we expect it to be our own. But
yes,
it isn't always the case.
There's another constraint on the reed warblers as well, which is that their breeding season is very short. And so even if they were to give up at that point, it's very unlikely that they would be able to get another brood produced that season.
It really is just fantastic stuff. One final question just for now is, do birds that get parasitised, that get tricked, duped by these cuckoos, do they do it over and over again? Or do they learn a lesson and next time they're even more careful to not let the cuckoos come and lay in their nest? Or do you see reed warblers that every season, every attempt at breeding, a cuckoo comes along and takes away all of their efforts to continue their own species?
I can't speak for reed warblers, but I've studied a host species in Australia, and I've seen one poor victim bird be struck three times in a row by a cuckoo.
Bad luck, isn't
Very
it?
Very bad luck indeed, yes.
Well, that is fantastic. Well, thanks so much, Rebecca. We were learning more about the wonderful world of cuckoos. So next time, if you hear a cuckoo calling, you could have a bit more of an idea of the crazy things that go on.